All right, let's hit the field.
All right.
Just wanted to talk, that's all.
It was game 10 of 162, and the Yankees were taking on the Blue Jays in the final game of a three-game set at Yankee Stadium. Luis Gil was on the mound looking to back up his solid first start of the season, and the Yankees' offense was looking to stay hot. My recap, your reactions, coming up next. This is NYY Recaps.
Welcome to Yankee Stadium.
New York City.
Just when they thought I was out,
they pull me back in.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Yankees take 2 out of 3 from the Toronto Blue Jays. 10 games in the book. 152 to go. Well, let me get some audio here in the background. I love how Yankees fans gave the roll call to Don Mattingly before the game. That was awesome. I love it when they do that, those kind of classy tributes. I love it when they serenaded Paul O'Neill off the field in his final game in the World Series. Stuff like that, I think, is why Yankees fans are the best. You know, we get a lot of crap because sometimes we boo our players when they're not, you know, living up to their end of the bargain. But, there's a lot of great things that we do, too. And I don't think we get enough credit for that. So Alek Manoah was supposed to pitch today for the Blue Jays, but he couldn't make it. He was busy giving up 7 runs in 1 2/3 innings in A-ball. It's crazy how he has fallen off, man. Just absolutely nuts. That's a shame. you hate to see it, but... Yankees look good today. Great sunny afternoon. Let's watch through the highlights real quick while I tell you about it in case you missed the game. What you're going to see, Luis Gil continues to showcase fascinating stuff. Just overpowering fastball, 93-mile-an-hour changeup. The command has been a bit of an issue. Giancarlo Stanton handing us all a nice big FU burger to eat today. Mammoth grand slam to cap off a 5-run third inning for the Yankees. Huge series for Stanton, who came into yesterday's game 3 for 24 and has suddenly caught fire. We had Angel Hernandez behind the plate today. He is just awful. Volpe, another multi-hit game, 3 stolen bases. Underbelly of the Yankees bullpen again made it interesting. So a lot of stuff to talk about when we go through the actual recap. But while we watch the highlights, quick reminder, today's podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. Link is in the profile, nordvpn.com/NYYRecaps. 4 months free on a 2-year plan. 3 months free on a 1-year plan. 30-day money-back guarantee if you don't like the product. Protect your privacy and, as an added bonus, for me anyway, get around the MLB blackout rules when you watch MLB TV. They're a great service. I thank them for sponsoring this entire series versus the Blue Jays. And check out the link in the profile. So I was actually surprised with the lineup that the Yankees ran out there today. I'm so used to them mailing it in on the, you know, final game of a series or, you know, running the worst possible, you know, offense out there on a day game after a night game. But both of those situations applied today. Final game of a series, day game after a night game, but they still went with the A lineup. So credit to the Yankees for going for it today, and they got it done. I thought for sure Giancarlo Stanton was going to get the day off, even after his game last night, but he didn't. And look at that. He stayed hot. You know, usually he would cool off because the Yankees would give him the day off. And now we got the Marlins coming in. They began 0-9, so not very good. Last I saw, they were winning in the 8th inning 8-1, so let's figure 1-9 coming into tomorrow's game. Those should be 3 winnable games. The Yankees could very realistically go 11-2 to begin this season if they stay hot. And if the rumors are true that the Yankees are still interested in Jesus Luzardo, the left-handed pitcher from the Marlins, they might be able to hasten his departure from the Marlins by crushing them this week. So, oh, and by the way, tomorrow was supposed to begin at 2 p.m., but they moved it back to 6 p.m., so I'll be on with the recap around probably 9 p.m. You know, why is it that every time that I hear about the solar eclipse, they always talk about how rare it is, but I feel like I've seen one every few years. Like, I feel like I've seen a bunch of them. This has got to be my 3rd or 4th one. It can't be that rare. But I looked it up before the game. I thought it's weird that eclipses even happen. Like, why are the sun and the moon the same size in the sky? It turns out the moon is 400 times closer than the sun, but the sun is 400 times the diameter of the moon. So it lines up perfectly. And I just thought that was crazy. That's got to be very low probability. That's kind of like, you know, Joey Gallo getting four hits in a game.
Oh!
Val in NY says, if the Yankees don't sweep the Marlins, he'll be disappointed. I think a lot of people will, as you see the great play from Anthony Volpe right here, going to his left, sliding, and making a great throw to get Kiermaier, and then picking up a base hit here. He had three hits today. He's hitting over 400. He is looking phenomenal to start the season. And Yankees took care of business in a game that they wanted to take care of business in against a division rival. Soto with the sac fly there. A lot of productive outs today. Defense wasn't the best, but chat is filling up, so let's go through the recap.
All right, let's go. Let's get it going.
So, top of the first inning, Luis Gil came out strong, struck out Vladimir Guerrero Jr. on a 92-mile-an-hour changeup that was diving down and in. Nasty pitch. Angel Hernandez was behind the plate, and he's the worst. He is unequivocally the worst and most annoying umpire in Major League Baseball. And he lived up to his reputation today. Screwed Gleyber Torres in the Yankees' first at-bat of the game. Pitcher stepped off and then stepped right back on and threw a pitch without coming set. You're not supposed to do that. And then Hernandez allowed it to go through, called it a strike. It was above the zone. It should have been a ball, but he rung Torres up on it. Absolutely brutal call.
What are you looking at, butthead?
Open up your eyes, man.
Called him out on an almost exact same pitch later in the game, too. So, you know, not Glaber's fault completely. Top of the third inning, Luis Gil got two quick outs, and then he lost the strike zone. Kind of got into a war with Angel Hernandez. They were showing each other up. Gil was stamping around on the mound a little bit and being extra dramatic about pitches that were off the plate, if we're being honest with each other. And Angel Hernandez was calling him out for every little infraction, not making enough eye contact with the hitter or whatever. But just really dumb stuff. Just play the game. Come on. We don't need all these antics. Crowd was chanting, Angel sucks. I didn't mind that. Luis Gil ended up walking in a run, kind of lost it a little bit. That inning hurt his pitch count. But the Yankees tied it up with their own bases loaded walk in the bottom half. Good at bat from Anthony Rizzo. Next batter, the greatest hitter in baseball history, Giancarlo Stanton.
Gone, a grand slam!
Gone, a grand slam!
The power is back, a grand slam! Grand slam!
He's gone!
A massive shot. A massive shot. He knew it. Crowd knew it. Hits the Poland Spring sign. Last night was a fence scraper. This one was not. Sound off the bat was like an explosion in a Michael Bay movie. 110.6 off the bat, 417 feet. And, you know, I would have said from the sound of that, that it was 130 off the bat. He absolutely squared that up as best as you can square that pitch up. Shout out to Frankie Baseball, who was at the game. Let's hope he can still hear his Taylor Swift music on the ride home. So Nuclear Stanton is in town. Let's hope he stays in town against his former team this week. And let's hope he stays healthy because he's started to heat up. No question about it. Luis Gil followed up by striking out the side in the fourth inning. That gave him eight strikeouts in four innings. Very nice job from Luis Gil today.
The Real Deal.
Phenomenal stuff. The Real Deal indeed. He's not going deep into games yet. I think that's the next piece of the puzzle for him. But you can see the stuff today was just ace level. He just needs to control it a little bit better. Final line, 4 1/3 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs, 4 walks, 8 strikeouts. Obviously, you love the strikeout numbers. You love the low hit totals. He's very difficult to square up. But 4 free passes in 4 innings is not ideal. He will get better. You know, almost every pitcher that has command issues early in their career finds a way to figure it out. The question is, can they figure it out while they still have elite stuff? Some guys figure it out after their arm starts to go. Can Luis Gil figure it out while he's still throwing 100 miles an hour and, you know, throwing a nasty 93-mile-an-hour changeup? So far, we look at his numbers from this season. 2 games started, 3 ERA, 9 innings pitched, and 14 strikeouts. So the equivalent of 1 game pitched, and he's got 14 Ks. That's not hard to figure out his K per nine numbers there. Outstanding performance from Luis Gil. No complaints here. I think he will get deeper into the game as the season goes along. So, things got a little bit ugly for the Yankees in the sixth inning. Blue Jays got a run off of Nick Birdie, left the bases loaded, but the Yankees answered right back with a run on a wild pitch. Anthony Volpe, obviously, all over the base paths today. He also made a fantastic play to rob Kevin Kiermaier in the top of the eighth inning. Three-hit game, three stolen bases. He's looking like a fantastic player this year. Yankees tacked on a couple late, and they hang on to win, and they are now 8-2.
Ball game over. Yankees win.
You'll take it. 80% winning percentage, 800 winning percentage. That would be a record. But yeah, you'll take this every time. And now with the Marlins coming to town, like I said, we got a really good chance to go 11-2. We've got a very, very good chance to go 11-2. Hey, don't forget to call in to the voicemail for tomorrow's show. Let's talk about Stanton, who embarrassed us. Everybody who called in and said he was done. Me, who titled the video the other day, he can't hit anymore. He's done nothing but hit since. Let's talk about Stanton. Let's talk about Volpe. Let's talk about Luis Gil. Let's talk about whatever you want to talk about. But time to give out the belt. Honestly, a tough decision today. Usually when somebody hits a grand slam, it is not a tough decision. But this kid, Anthony Volpe, three hits, two runs, three stolen bases, great defense. I felt like he played the game really well today on both sides of the ball. Just deserves some recognition. Belt goes to Volpe. Raleigh says, keep Waldo in the games. Waldo has been playing great. I didn't mention him enough in this, but he went 1-for-3 with a couple of runs scored and a walk, hitting .333 with a .934 OPS to begin the season as the Yankees' primary third baseman. I still think we're going to see a lot of Birdie in there against certain lefties because Waldo doesn't hit as well from the right side. Hey, look, shout out to Giancarlo Stanton, too, for the grand slam. But Anthony Volpe, just the way he played today, just solidifies what we're all seeing with him this season. He's a completely different guy. .424 average to begin the season. You see him using the whole field. That's a very Jeterian hit right there. He lets the ball travel deep in the zone, very level bat path, and pokes it right through the hole. Here he chops one to third base, and he's going to use the speed. Forces a tough throw. Here's another one through the right side. Outstanding. And then here's one up the middle. Great play. He slides, makes the throw. I thought he beat it, but we get the call. The replay showed it was kind of too close to call. If I were the umpire, I probably would have called him out. But here's another shot to right field. Just continues to inside out the ball and use the whole field. Loving what we're seeing so far from Anthony Volpe. So let me know in the chat what you are feeling about this team through the first 10 games. Proficiency Music says Jeteria, new word. It's actually not a new word. That's if you follow John Sterling, he uses that word a lot. Jeteria and single. He used it a lot for Jeter when he was hitting line drives to right field. During his career, he would, you know, there's another Jeterian single to right field. John says Volpe has the winning gene. He really does seem like a winning player. He seems like a totally different player this year than last year. I agree.
I hardly agree.
Ocean View Coffee Shop says that grand slam was legendary as we watch it right there. Absolutely nuked. And the sound, if you get a chance to listen to it with just the game sounds and no announcers, it's incredible. You're looking at it right now on MLB.com. There's something called Field View where they show a home run with like a view from the dugout, but no announcers. And you watch that, you can really get the crack of the bat. It is absolutely smoked. And we should talk about Angel Hernandez. A lot of people talking about Angel Hernandez in the chat. I feel like you shouldn't even know the names of umpires. I mean, am I wrong in thinking that? an umpire should be so good at by the time they reach the major leagues that they get most of the calls right and you don't know their names. I can only name the shitty umpires, Angel Hernandez foremost among them. And it seems like every time we have a game with him, whether he's coaching or umpiring third base or umpiring first base or behind the plate, he finds a way to inject himself into the game. I don't like that. Umpires are supposed to be there to observe and make sure that the rules are observed and to make judgment calls. But I don't want a guy who's going to go out of his way to be involved in the action on the field. And that's what Angel Hernandez does. Joe Bagg says, great energy in the stadium over the weekend. Going to have to agree with you there. Will Roman says, love it, but still don't trust the pitching. You know, I don't blame you. The pitching, not phenomenal today. We can take a look at the box score. You know, we had a lot of base runners. Ferguson pitched one in the third scoreless, but, you know, Birdie was a little bit wild, got two outs. Cousins gave up a couple of hits, couple of walks. He was really the worst. Santana was pretty good again. They weren't horrible, but it didn't feel easy, right? They just constant deep counts, a lot of, you know, good swings, a lot of wild, really bad pitches. I do think we need to reinforce the bullpen. I don't know who the answer is. I know a lot of people have said Emmanuel Clase. You know, he's obviously one of the best relief pitchers in all of baseball, but he also led the league in blown saves, and I'm not entirely sure that the Guardians are going to trade him. Now, the Guardians just lost Shane Bieber to a UCL injury. He is done for the season. So the Guardians are probably not going to go very far. You know, they're off to a pretty good start, but eventually their pitching is going to get a little bit thin as well. So they might unload him. And if they make him available, I want the Yankees to go get Clase. But really, the move would have been to sign Josh Hader. I don't know if Hader would have come here, but he signed late, and the Yankees could have afforded the contract that he got from the Astros. I know he hasn't pitched great with the Astros, and I think a product of that is probably signing late. Yankees probably could have got him for a reasonable price, and he would have been your lockdown ninth inning guy. Clay Holmes could have been the seventh or eighth, or seventh and eighth. That's the thing about sinker ballers. If you just let them go in there and throw sinkers and not have to try and strike people out because it's the ninth inning and it's a tight game and you got no safety net, you can just throw the sinker right over the plate and let them hammer it into the ground. Those of you who remember Ramiro Mendoza know what I'm talking about. Those of you who remember Chien-Ming Wong know what I'm talking about. Clay Holmes is that version of a pitcher. Throws harder than those guys, but they've got him closing. And I think he would be better in the seventh, eighth role. Now, Clase is a little bit like Rivera in terms of his pitch repertoire. He throws a very hard cutter. He's obviously not as reliable as Rivera. Nobody ever will be. But Clase is somebody we should definitely look into. Mike Mustaine says, Volpe keeps improving. That is what you want to see. Nick Hartung says, sucks we lost Johnny Lasagna. He was looking good. He gets hurt every year, though. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by it at this point. So, anyway, let's see what else we got. Lori C says, unlike last season, this team is fun to watch. I like it.
You're a smart motherfucker. That's right.
And we got a super chat from Tommy C's Cat. Says, Angel Hernandez is like 1990 George Steinbrenner, a vile human being with Michael K on their payroll. Ooh. Not holding back. Christopher Sanchez says, another under-the-radar bullpen arm incoming. I think we can count on that. I think they're trying to make Cousins that guy. He's got some decent stuff. Throws hard, obviously. I'm not sure he's the guy. Honestly, Caleb Ferguson's a left-handed pitcher that I think is going to fit nicely in the Wandy Peralta role, but I don't think he's quite as good as Wandy. I haven't seen much else from the bullpen, honestly. Birdie has some good stuff, but as we saw, his command can be a little bit erratic. But hopefully he can step up. Ian Hamilton had a tough night last night, but he's great. And then we have to watch out for guys hurting themselves, right? I mean, how many UCL injuries have we seen so far this year? You know, we need some depth. We need to go out and get some depth for the bullpen. And, you know, we've got some starting pitching depth. Warren threw six innings yesterday. We got Clayton Beter, who's obviously a starting pitcher, but he's already pitched out of the bullpen for the Yankees this year, made his major league debut. I feel like he could fill in either the rotation or the bullpen. So we do have some arms. It's not like a super bleak scenario, and every team is dealing with this. Every team is dealing with injuries and underperformance out of the bullpen. But the Yankees keep winning, and they are 8-2, and they are in first place in the American League East. They are a game and a half on the Red Sox, who are 6-3. Orioles, 5-4. They're dealing with the Pirates right now, who are red hot. Rays, 4-5, polar opposite of their start to last season. Obviously, they're without some of their big guns. Wander Franco might never play in major leagues again, rightfully so. And then Blue Jays now 4-6 with a negative 17 run differential. So tough start for them.
I got to get out of here.
Take a few more comments.
You got to go. You got
to go. Todd Billington wants Trevor Bauer. Says we can't continue on with starters going less than five. We need some innings eaters. I mean,
game over, man. Game over.
We do need innings eaters, but you would think that if Bauer was going to be signed, he already said he would sign for the minimum. You would think he would be signed by now. A lot of teams have had injuries. You know what's interesting? Frankie Montas has been pitching lights out for the Reds. Now, I don't think he would have done that for the Yankees. He's changed the way he's pitching. He's trying to pitch more to contact, so that he can go deeper into games, not stress his arm as much. But he looked good. And if you caught Yamamoto pitch yesterday against the Cubs, Jesus, this guy has a hook. I mean, a 12-6 hook like you wouldn't believe. Unbelievable. Unreal. Watch him pitch. I wish the Yankees had him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Yankees take 2 out of 3. I will be back tomorrow after the first game of the Marlins series. And I'll see you then. Have a nice evening. Oh.